Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Batra Daf Chaf Hei. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Mechikim es goyim kavuim in ear. We have to distance a permanent goyim from the city Chamish Yama by 50 Yama. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Lo yas adam goyim kavuim shaloi. A person shouldn't make a permanent granary, elm ken yesh lechamishim am l'chal ruach, unless he has 50 am in every direction to distance it. Umarchik, one more din the Mishnah says, m'tiyos of shechaveri, somebody has to distance his granary from the trees of his neighbor, umeniroi, from his plowed field. The Gemara will explain this then too. B'chdei shlo yazik, in the amount that it shouldn't cause damage. So the Mishnah in the first two dinim has taught us that you have to distance the granary from the city, and you also have to distance it from all other fields in the neighborhood. And the question that the Rishonim discuss is, why do we have to have both dinim of the Mishnah? The point is that, as we're going to learn, the granary, when the wind blows, could cause the psoilus, the waste, to ruin tefuah. So what's the difference to the city or somebody else's fields? So the Rishonim explained that each one of these cases carry with it its own chiddush. The city is not really a place where there's a lot of tefuah found. So since there's not a lot of tefuah found here, one would think that we shouldn't have to be concerned about any damage that my field, that my granary could cause to it. On the other hand, it's the rabbim, it's the whole public, and we certainly always have to be concerned, as we've been learning, about the Hezek the Rabbin. On the other hand, the field next to me, on one hand, it's more susceptible to damage, because it's all the grain growing in the field. But on the other hand, it only belongs to one individual. So maybe the halach is not that concerned just about one individual. That's why our Mishnah needed to speak about both situations, both a granary near other people's fields that are owned by individuals, and the granary next to the city, which could damage the city. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah began speaking, as we just said, about a granary being distanced by 50 amma. And then the Mishnah at the end was sort of ambiguous and saying that you have to distance from your friend's trees and from his plowed field, but it doesn't speak about an amount that it has to be distance. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Seifa. Why does the Mishnah not say the same din in the Reish and the Sefer? Answers the Gemara, Amr Abaya, Sefer Osun L'Geron She'enek Vuh. The Sefer speaks about a non-permanent granary, and therefore it has a different din. Heichi Domi, what is the definition, asked the Gemara, of a Geron She'enek Vuh? Amr Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Kol She'en Ezari Bereches, that you don't use a shovel to carry the grain. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. The Gemara is asking, what is the definition of a Goyim Shena Kavua? And the Gemara says a Goyim Shena Kavua means a place that you don't use a shovel. Why doesn't the Gemara just use the simple teretz? A Goyim Shena Kavua means a non-permanent place versus a Goyim Kavua being a permanent place. So Rishonim explained, the fact that it's permanent or not permanent is immaterial to this issue. If the issue, as we're learning, is the psoilus flying, so what's the difference if it's permanent or not? If there's psoilus, it's a problem. If there is no psoilus, there is no problem. That's why the Gemara had to find a different definition for Goyim Shena Kavua. And what is the definition? That it doesn't have a shovel, that it's doesn't have a shovel carrying it, and therefore it's not likely to have that much psoilus. And actually, Kel Shena Zari Bereches, I saw two pshatim. One pshat is simple, that if you're not going to use a shovel, then you're not going to have that much psoilus flying. Another pshat that I saw is that it's not that you do or don't use the shovel. It's the amount of grain you have in the granary. If you have a very small amount of grain, that you don't even need a shovel to shovel it, so then you're not going to have a lot of psoilus. On the other hand, if you need a shovel, then you do have a problem. According to this explanation, it's not the shovel specifically, it's actually the amount of grain, which is the issue. Rav Ashi has a different explanation in the Mishnah. Rav Ashi says that the seif of the Mishnah is not introducing a new din. Rather, the seif of the Mishnah is an explanation of the beginning of the Mishnah. Ma tam kama. The way to understand the sefer is that the sefer is explaining the reisha. Ma tam machikin garim kavum in the ear. Chamishim amo. Why is the halacha? Do we have to distance this garim kavum from the city 50 amo? Kadesh shlo yazik. Because if it won't be distance, we can have things in the city damaged. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a braisa, machikim garim kavum in the ear chamishim amo. You have to distance it chamishim amo. Just like it has to be distance 50 amma from the city, you have to distance the granary from the cucumbers and the pumpkin and the saplings from the plowed field of your neighbor by 50 amma, in order that it shouldn't do damage. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rav Ashi Nicha. According to Rav Ashi, we could understand this brisa, the fact that the brisa uses the number of 50 amma in all situations. El abaya kasha, abaya, it's difficult. Bishloim mekshu medaluav. By the case that it should be distanced from the cucumbers and the pumpkins, we understand because we're concerned the ozel afka of osabalibe, the psoilus of the grain will go right into these vegetables and ruin them. Umatzile. El Maniroyamai. Why would the halacha be that you have to distance it 50 amas from a plowed field? If according to Abaya, the din, there is no such din in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah in the Sefer is referring this to Gorin Sheena Kavua. And as Rishonim explained, according to Abaya, the Abaya should have made this distinction between a Gorin Kavua and a Gorin Sheena Kavua. The reason you have this distance from a plowed field is because you're going to have, if this psoilus falls on the field, it will be too much manure on the field. Ask Tysus the obvious question. Throughout Shas, we keep on speaking about manure being fertilizer. So it's good for the field. So why over here does the Gemara say that we don't want this psoilus to hit the field because it's going to fertilize because it's going to be golol. Golol is good. Answers Tysus, an important lesson in life. Things are good, but too much of something is not good. And we're afraid that it's going to over-fertilize the field. And if you can control the fertilizer that you put on the field, that's great. But here, since you're not controlling it, that's why it's going to cause damage. Says the Mishnah, Machikim es nevelis, we have to distance nevelis, vesakvaris, and a cemetery, vesaburski in a tannery, mani'ir chamishim amma, from a city 50 amma. So I saw a beautiful vart from Chaim Kanyevsky in the Sefer Tam of the Krah. The nevela has to be separated from the city by 50 amma because the nevela has a bad odor. He says, there's a very famous pasuk in the Torah. The Torah speaks about the nevelas. The Torah says that the klovim, the dogs in Mitzrayim, didn't bark as we were leaving, and that's why lekelav tashlichun oisai, we should throw the nevelas to the dogs. So he asks a question, why when the Torah uses the words tashlichun, doesn't say tashlichun? It should say lekelav tashlichu. What's the extra nun? He says the Torah is referring to this Mishnah. Yes, there's a din, he says, that you have, the Torah says, that you have to give the nevelas to the klavim, but you always have to remember that the Torah says, the Mishnah says you have to keep them 50 amos away from the city. L'kelav tashlichun, send it, but remember the nun, that it has to remain 50 amos away from the city. The Beis HaKfaris, the Mishnah says, has to be kept away from the city. Why? So I saw a number of explanations in Rishonim. One explanation in Rishonim is that sometimes there's a bad odor emanating from the cemetery. Another pshat is that for the Kohanim are not allowed to come into contact with the Beis HaKfaris, so we don't want the Beis HaKfaris too close to the city. Another pshat is that a Jew is not allowed to be in Atzvos. A Jew has to be happy. If you're constantly going to encounter a cemetery because it's right next to your home, it's not going to put you in the right frame of mind. Although the Paiskim do suggest that Bezman Hazeh, the Beis Hillel says this, Bezman Hazeh, nowadays this din doesn't apply. We actually see that cemeteries were in the city in certain communities. And I saw two pshat and why. One pshat is that sometimes they had the cemetery and then they built the city around the cemetery. So the cemetery came first. And certainly the halach is not that the cemetery should be moved because there's a city there. Another pshat is a fairly practical pshat. In ancient times, it was very difficult for Jews to be able to make a cemetery. And wherever they got permission to make a cemetery, that's where they had to make it. And therefore the halach is that where you have a cemetery, bizmanenu, it's fine. I actually saw an interesting shaila. Avraham Avinu bought the Maaretz Machpelah. The Maaretz Machpelah has always been in Hebron, in the city of Hebron proper. Question is, how did Avraham Avinu make a cemetery right in the middle of the city? So one pshat that I saw is going back to what we explained, why cemeteries are a problem, because of a bad odor, chas v'shalom. Certainly those tzaddikim did not emanate any bad odor. Furthermore, as we said before, a cemetery causes people to be ba'atzvus. On the other hand, Maaretz Machpelah is a wonderful mokma tefillah, where we're mispalul by the Maaretz Machpelah. So that's something that Avraham Avinu knew people are going to want to have in the middle of a Jewish community, in the middle of Hebron. Vesaburski min ear, the burski should be also separated from the city by Chamishim Amma. Ein oisim burski ela mizrach ear. And a burski, according to the Tanakam, should be made only on the east side. So the way the Rishash explains the Tanakama's opinion is that the Tanakama holds that it should only be made on the east side. So Rashi explains because the east side has the weakest wind, and therefore we're not worried about the wind carrying the bad odor from the burski. Taisa says that the east side faces the west side, and the west side, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, has a strong wind, so it's always going to push the wind, it's always going to push the smell back to the east side, not let it enter into the city. And therefore, you should make it on the east side. According to the Tanakama, it should only be made on the east side, 50 amas away from the city. The other sides, the Tanakama's opinion, is you can't make it at all on those sides. Rabbi Kiva Oyim L'Kal Ruach, who I see, you can make it to any direction, Chutz M'Marova, or Machik Chamishim Amma. You can make it 50 amas, but you have to make 50 amas away. And the Gemara soon will explain how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Furthermore, we learned this Gemara already in Daf Yud Ches, or Machikim as a Mishim in a Yerek, the pool of water where they would soak the linen should be distanced from the city, because as we explained, there are toxins in that water coming out of the linen that could cause damage to the vegetables. There's a Kreshim and a Betzolim, leek should be distanced from onions, again because the leek causes the onions to lose their sharpness. There's a chardel minadvarim, mustard should be separated from the bees because the bees eat the mustard and they get a sharp taste in the mouth. We learned this Gemara. And then they go and eat the honey, so they ruin the owner's honey, they diminish his honey. Rabbi Yossi mata b'chardel. And as we learned, actually Rabbi Yossi disagrees with all three of these final dinim that the Mishnah said. Because Rabbi Yossi's opinion is ala nizik laharchikas atzmai. It's the one that's getting damaged who has the obligation to separate himself. But the way to understand the last case of the Mishnah is as follows. A nice review of Daf Yud Ches. The Rabbi Yossi is saying that even you, the Rabbonin, who are of the opinion that ala mazik laharchikas atzmai, the one that's causing the damage has to distance himself, still, says Rabbi Yossi, chadl and dvorim, both cause damage to each other. The chadl does damage to dvarim, as we just said, because it causes them to eat the honey. On the other hand, the bees do damage to the mustard seed. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, even you, the chacham, ought to agree that this din doesn't apply the chadl and dvarim. The Mishnah, interestingly, in these last dinim that the Mishnah quoted, doesn't say, it just says that according to the opinion of Tanakama, there has to be a distance. But the Mishnah doesn't identify how much of a distance needs to be here. And the Rishonim explain, why doesn't the Mishnah mention the amount that it has to be distance? So they explain, because the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And since we just finished explaining that according to Rabbi Yossi, these dinim aren't relevant, so our Mishnah didn't go into the details of how much of a distance is required. Furthermore, but according to the Tanakama, that does say distancing is required. How much distancing do you have to have? So some Rishonim say that the shear is always going to be 4 amos. Some Rishonim say that every item has its own shear because you have to look at the item and look at what's getting damaged and then determine what is the proper distance. So as we said, the Gemara now will analyze the opinion of Rabbi Kiva regarding the Bursky. Ibar Rabbi Kiva hechi kama. How do we understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion? On every direction he can make the Bursky right next to the city. Chutz m'marava, except on the west side, the machet num amav oisa, where you have to have a distance of 50 amav before you make the Bursky. Idilma, or the way to understand Rabbi Kiva perhaps is, l'kal oisa ruach oisa machig chamish mama, all the other directions you can make a Bursky, provided that you separate it by 50 amma. Chutz m'marava, except the west side, dena oisa klau, where you're not allowed to make a Bursky at all. Tashma, so the Gemara proves it from the following Braisa. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Rabbi Kiva im l'kal ruach oisa, every distance, every direction you can make, a Bursky, or mach kamishim amma, provided that you distance at 50 amma, chutz m'marava, except on the west side, de'eino oisa kalak iker, where Rabbi Kiva agrees you shouldn't make a Bursky under any circumstances, m'nesha tidira. Now the Gemara discusses what does that mean. Omalei Rav Rav Nachman, mei tidira. What does tidira mean? The word tada means constant. What does tada mean in this context? Ilei matidira baruchas, that there's constantly a west wind. Ask the Gemara, v'am Rav Chanan bar Abba, om Rav, dalad ruchois menashois b'chol yoim. There are winds from the four directions that blow every day. V'ruach tzvainasim kulon, it's the northern wind that's constantly there. Shemolei kain, because if you would not have a northern wind, ein ha'olam eskaim afil sha'achas, the world cannot even exist for one moment. V'ruach d'romis, the southerly wind, kashmakulan, is the most difficult wind. V'moli benetz, machloik is what benetz means. Some means, say it means actually a bird. Others say it means a malach. Shema midoi, that controls it from becoming too strong. Machreves es ha'olam, the world would be destroyed. Shenemer, as we find Hashem saying to Eve, ha'b'minoscha yov netz, yifrish k'nofilis seimon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Eve, were you that great? Can you create a situation like I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created that the southerly wind should be created? So we see, if anything, it's the west wind is not that strong wind. So what does it say that it means Tadira? Elamai Tadira, Tadira B'Shechina. The Shechina is on the west side. Darim Shubin Leva, Bo Nachzik Tova Laveseinu. Let's owe a gratitude. They informed us where the proper place to daven is. And that's what Ben Yoyod explains. An important part of our religion is understanding the tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in our ability to pray to Him. The word Toiva is B'Gematria Chof Beis, Gematria 22. Representing the 22 letters of our alabays, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an alabays, that we could use that alabays to form words, to daven to Him, Taiva, that is the greatest gift that we Jews possess. The Tziv, the Pasuk says, Utsva Shemayim L'chom Mishtachavim. We know that the sun goes up in the east, we'll discuss this more with Hashem on Amud Beis, and goes down in the west. So that means that the sun and the planets are all bowing down to the west side. Why are they bowing down to the west side? It must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the west side. Ask Taisus, why do we have to bring that pasuk as a raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the west side? Maybe, why don't we bring a raya from the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash, we know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was on the west side of the Beis HaMikdash. So isn't that a proof that the Shekhinah is on the west side? Answers Tosfos, that is not really a proof. Why? Because it could well be, and as the Gemara is going to suggest in a moment that there is an opinion that says that way, that the Shekhinah is really on all sides. The Shekhinah is on all sides, but when you build a building and you want to make a room, you have to pick a side. So the fact that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is on the west side is not a proof that the Shekhinah is on the west side. It could be the Shekhinah is on all sides, that they just chose to, when they built the base of Mikdash, they made the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the west side, but that isn't a proof that the Shekhinah is there. And Tosfos goes on to say, because if you want, you could argue that the Shekhinah is on the east side. Because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what is the holiest part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Where the Aron sits. And the Aron is on the east side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara is now trying to prove from the Pasuk of Tzvah Shemayim L'chav Mishtachvim that since everything sets towards the west, that means that the Shekhinah is bowing down to the west side, the planets are bowing down to the west side where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Maskula Rachab Yaakov, who says to learn Pshat in the Pasuk that way? Maybe the way to understand the Pshat in the Pasuk is, maybe Pshat in the Pasuk is, we know that when you leave a king, you walk out of the room backwards. So maybe what is Pshat that everything goes towards the west? They're all taking leave of the Shekhinah, which is on the east side. And that's how they're walking away with great respect from the Shekhinah on the east side. So, Kasha. So the Gemara says that this Pasuk really, perhaps doesn't really prove the opinion that the Shekhinah is on the west side. Reb Oishi's opinion is that Shekhinah is become Mokim. The Shekhinah is everywhere. Domer of Oishi Maidik Sif, Atu Hu Hashem Levadecho, Atu Asisa Shemayim. Says Reb Oishi, the way to understand that pasuk is shluchacha like shluchi bas v'dam. A messenger who does an assignment on behalf of Kodesh Baruch Hu is not like a messenger who does an assignment on our behalf. Shluchi bas v'dam, m'mokim shemishtachim v'shtam marzirim shluchachusan. If you ask me to do an assignment, and you ask me to let you know after I complete my assignment that I've done my job, I come back to you, wherever you are, and I inform you of so. Somebody who does a shlichus, an assignment on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, wherever they finish their assignment, they can notify a Kodesh Baruch Hu that they did their job. Because wherever they are, that's where a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. So Shnema, Hashishlach Barakim V'yelchu, V'yayim Lecha Hineinu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu sends lightning to the world, the Yelchu v'Yomerlach, and they go and they inform HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they completed their assignment. Yavoyu v'Yomeru loy nemer. Says the Gemara, it doesn't say that they go, that they come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him that they completed their assignment. El v'Yelchu v'Yomeru. They go, they complete their assignment, and where they completed their assignment, right in that spot, they inform HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they did the job. Why? Because Melam Shekhinah become Mokim. The Shekhinah is everywhere, and they don't have to travel anywhere to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara. V'af Rabbi Shmuel saw the Shekhinah become Mokim. So too does Rabbi Shmuel hold that the Shekhinah could be found in every direction. The Tanya Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Menayin Shekhinah become Mokim. How do we know that the Shekhinah could be found everywhere? Shenemar, Heina HaMalach HaDovi B'Yoytzi. U'Malach Acha Yoytzi L'Krosai. This is a pasuk in Zechariah. Where first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as best as we could understand this pasuk, tells a malach to go and set the boundaries of Yerushalayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, he doesn't want Yerushalayim to be limited by boundaries. So first the pasuk says, Hina malach adavi b'yotzi. First the first malach that was assigned to make the boundaries goes out. Or malach acha yotzi l'krosai. And then another malach meets him. It doesn't say that the first malach was dispatched from the same place that the second malach was dispatched from the first same place that the first malach was dispatched. He met him where he was. Why was he able to meet him where he was? Because the malachim are with the Shekhinah, and malam shekhinah become mokim, the Shekhinah is everywhere. Vaf Rav Sheshes Sover, Shekhinah become mokim. Rav Sheshes also held that the Shekhinah is everywhere. Rav Sheshes, we know, was blind, so he didn't know what direction he was facing. So he would tell his assistant, "Lekol ruchsa ukman, you should point me in any direction, lebam mizrach, except to the east side when I daven." V'lav mishum de les by shechina. Not because, said Rav Shina, Rishayshis, that there is no shechina on the east side. El mishum de mar by mini. Since the east side is the side from where the sun comes up, and they were oide kachavim, oide hashemish that used to worship the sun, so don't face me the east side, because the east side is the side that that people who are oide the sun daven. So pray. So we have here a number of opinions where the Shekhinah is. The first opinion was that the Shekhinah is on the west side. The other opinion was that the Shekhinah is on all sides, but just don't daven to the east side because of the Apikarsim. But our halach, well, we don't pass in like any of these opinions. We pass in, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Brachos, that we should always be facing Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, when we are mispalel. As the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, that was the tefillah of Shlomo HaMelech as he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. The spalel derech Eretzim, wherever they are, a Jew should face Eretz Yisrael, which means we, in the Northern Hemisphere, the halacha is, should face the southeast direction. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, what happens, and this question comes up specifically, if somebody's davening in an office, at home, whatever, and he's davening in the wrong direction. Says the Mishnah Berurah, since the halacha with this kavanah is not specifically the direction you face, it refers more to the what you think about, that you're thinking that your tefillah should go through Yerushalayim, through the Makom HaMikdash. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you started davening and you're facing the wrong direction, you should continue facing the wrong direction. However, the Prima Gadim says that that din is only if you're davening in your home, in an office, but if you're davening in a shul, and somebody gets up in shul and davens and starts davening for whatever reason facing the wrong direction, he recognizes that he's facing the wrong direction, he should turn himself around and face the right direction. Rabbi Avuhu Amar Shechina B'Marv. The Shechina is on the west side. Dama Rabbi Avuhu Mai Urya Urka. The east side is called Urka. The west side is called Urka because it faces the east side, and the east side is Kedem, and this is the other side. The west side is where the shine is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mai Diksiv Yerev Kamata Lichi Zeruach Maroimus. It comes from the back. Because as I just said, if the east side is called Kedem, which is the front, the west side, which is opposite to the east side, is the back. Tizel katalam rasi, zu ruach tzefaynis, shemazelis azazov. Rashi explains as follows. When there's a strong northerly wind, famine is brought to the world. When there's famine in the world, rachman al-tzlan, the price of all food goes up. And what people have to do is they don't have the ability to buy that food at that cost, so they sell their gold just to be able to buy food. And because there's such an abundancy of gold being sold, the price of gold goes down. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hazolim zav mikis, the gold becomes cheap when people have to spend money for food. Kisirim alidesha, zeruach Mizrachis, it's the easterly wind. Shemeseris is kol olam kesoyer, that it brings torrents to the world, like a shade. Kervivim ala esav, zeruach d'raimah shumala revivim, the southerly wind, which we explained earlier, is the best wind. It causes plants, or magdalas asavim, and it causes the grass to grow. Before we begin the next Gemara, two words of introduction. One word of introduction is that the next Gemara is going to describe how the world looks. Now we know the world is round. But we're going to see, actually, the first opinion that the Gemara is about to cite doesn't have the world round. It has the world like a semicircle, which we know is incorrect. So the Mefarshim, Maral, and others explain that this Gemara is not to be understood in the simple way that the world is a semicircle. This Gemara is to be understood on a much deeper level that we can't even understand. Even the Pashup shot in the Gemara, I'm not into astronomy, so I'm going to try to explain it to the best that I understand it. Tanya, that's the second piece of introduction. Tanya Revelazer Oimer. Oilam Lechsad Yehudayim. The world looks like a pavilion, closed on three sides and open on the fourth side. V'ruach's finest enemies of Evis. Three sides of the world are open. The north side is not open. V'kivin shegiyah cham etzel kem arovitz finest. Every day we know the sun comes up on the east side. It goes down on the northwest side. So what happens with the sun at night? So this opinion has the world looking like a dome. And what happens, it says the Gemara, is that there's an opening on this northwest corner through which the sun exits the world. It travels over the dome at night, and then it comes back up in the morning inside the dome on the east side. Nechfefes, it exits the dome as the sun goes down. For Oilu Malam Nerkia, it travels above the dome at night, and then in the morning it re-enters inside of the dome on the east side. Rabbi Shua, on the other hand, holds Oilu Mekubu Daima, he has the world as a circle. For Roach Tzfinus Mesavevis, and it goes in the north, it goes towards the north. The Kim Shagayim Cham Magas Lekem Erevitz Tzfinus, when the sun comes on the west side at night, Makafes V'Chayzeres Achurei Kippa, it goes under the world, that's the way we know it goes. The sun sets and it goes under the globe, and then it comes back up where we are. Shenema Hoylech Adorim V'Saviv Al Tzofim. Hoylech Adorim B'Yoyim V'Tzof Tzofim B'Laylam. Which means it's Saiviv Saiviv Hoylech Aruach V'Sivasov Shava Ruach El Pnei Mizrach Upnei Marv. This means the east side and the west side. Shepamim Savasam Upamim Aloksam. So what does this mean? Again, as best as I could explain it. We know that the sun comes up on the east side and goes down on the west side. However, we know that the sun, the day in the summer, is much longer than the day in the winter. Why? So the sun always comes up on the east side, but it could come up more towards the south or more towards the north. The closer to the north it comes up, it has a longer cycle than when it comes up closer to the south. And that's what the Gemara is meaning by quoting the pasuk. Sun comes up by the south, by the east, and goes down by the west. But it matters how close to the south or how close to the north does it come up to determine the length of the day. Who are you? So stops the Gemara. Who's the who? Asim Rebbe Lezer. It's the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Menachei de Tav Sufa Zer Ruach Teremes. Umamzerim Kora Zer Ruach Tzfoynes. Menishnas Kel Yitain Korach Zuruach Marovitz, that's the west wind. Zuruach Mayim B'Mutzayk, world that the wind that causes the world to be in trouble. Zuruach Mizrachis. Ask the Gemara, how can we say Min Chede Tav Sofay, which is like a tornado? From Ma'adim we say on Amin Aleph, Zuruach Dromis, that the southerly wind Malo Revivim Magdal Sasovim causes plants and grass to grow. It's a wonderful wind. What's Al Gemara saying that it's difficult? Answers the Gemara, Lekasha. Hada Asim Mitra Benachusa. When it comes from the south in a nice fashion, it's a wonderful rain. Habishchusa, if it comes down in torrents, even if it's coming from the south side, it's difficult. Amr Rav Chizda, we had this already in Amr Aleph. Maidik Simit Sofen Zav Yasa, Zeruach Tzfoynes. This is talking about a northerly wind. Shemazelis Azazov, that causes gold, the price of gold to drop, because it's the northerly wind causes famine in the world, and that famine causes the price of food to go up, and people have to sell the gold. The Kain Oimer, as we said in Amr Aleph, has Zolim Zav Mekis. Amr Av from Bapapa, Amr Av Chizda. Yom Shechor Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we've been speaking about the wonderful effects of the southerly wind. That wonderful southerly wind has essentially ceased to exist from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Shenemar V'yogzer Al Yamin V'rov V'yoychel, it causes when it comes on the right side, which is the south side, causes the hungry to be able to eat, because it causes wonderful crops, are small, but when it comes on the left side, which is the northerly wind, like Saveyu, We see the opposite of the north is the right, because the right is the Doroim, which is the good wind. Tzofin is the difficult wind. Continues the Gemara. From the Raphim by Papa Amrav Chizda. From when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, ain't a Gesham Yard in Ma'at Taif. There is no longer rain coming out from the wonderful treasure house HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for rain. Shenemar Yiftach Hashem Lecha as Otsra Toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open the wonderful treasure house. Bizman Sheyisrael Oysim Ritzon Shemokim. When Klai Yisrael fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and furthermore points out the Marshal, we have to have two conditions met. One condition is that they do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and furthermore Yisrael Shurim Alad Mosam, they're living in Eretz Yisrael, then Gisharim Yard Ma'at Toiv, the wonderful rain comes down. Bizman and Yisrael Shurim Alad Mosam, when Klai Yisrael is not acting appropriately, and Gishamim Yardim Oitzatayv, then good rain doesn't come down. Says the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak, Haroitz Shiyachim, if somebody wants to become smart, Yadrim, he should face the south side. Vishiyashir, if somebody wants to become wealthy, Yatzbir, he should face the north side. Vishimanach, where do we see this? Shulchan B'tzofen, the Shulchan is on the north side in the Beis Hamikdash. The Shulchan represents Chochma. Umenayra, which represents, the Shulchan represents Panasa, I'm sorry, the Lechem Aponim, is on the north side, which is on the left. Umenayra, and the Menayra, which represents Chochma, as the Gemara says, Haroitz Lahavin Labonim Tamid Chachamim, if you want to have children, or Tamid Chachamim, you should rug the Ner, the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos. The Ner represents Nam Mitzvah, the Torah Or, it represents Chachma, was on the Dharm side. Rishub and Levi Omer, Loyalim Yadrim. A person should always face the Dharm side, Shemetoich Shemeschakeim Misasher. If somebody will be a Talmud Chacham, he will automatically be smart. Shenemar, Oruch Yom B'Yemino, B'Smoila Oysha V'Chavid. The right side, which represents the south side, brings you long days, and you'll get along with it already, the Oysha V'Chavid. So there are many points to make in learning this Gemara. Number one, I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach La'aloch L'maisa. He says, our Gemara says, Tarayitz L'chachm Yadrim, Ulahashi Yatzpin. But we just spoke on Amud Aleph, he says, that you're supposed to face, we all know this halacha, you're supposed to face the east side when you're davening. So how does the Gemara say face the south side or the north side? So he says what the Gemara means is that certainly when a person is davening, he should face the east side. That's the halacha. However, let's say a person has a bakasha, a specific bakasha for chachma, so then he should face the south side. And if he has a specific moment in his tefillah that he has a kavana for wealth, that moment he should face the north side. In fact, I saw from the Bava Rebbe that he says most people shake forth and back when they daven. He says, but really maybe you should shake from side to side. Side to side is south and north. And that's why the halacha, the Ratvaz, says that in the shul where they're lighting a menorah and Chanukah, where should I put the menorah? This is the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. You should put it on the south side. Because just like we see that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was on the south side. I saw a very nice pshat that the shulchan b'tzofen or menorah b'dofen. What does shulchan mean? What does soften mean? The north side. But the word soften could also mean yatspin, hiding. When it comes to a person, when it comes to his wealth, yatspin, he should remain low-key. He should not show off. On the other hand, when it comes to chachma, to taira, there he should learn. So I saw, both from the Michtam Eliyahu and Rav Nachman Breslover, that our Gemara says that you should try to have both. The Pasuk says, it's not just the Gemara, Aruch Yomim Minoi B'Smaila Yishev Chavid. So how could a Jew have both and survive? So they both say, if a Jew is an Anuf, if a Jew is modest, then he could have both Chachma, Torah V'Gedula B'Makam Echad, and survive. I saw a beautiful word from the Ben Yoyada. The Gemara is saying, when it comes to Chachma, you should go to the right. When it goes to Oysher, you should go to the left. What does that mean? So the Ben Yoyada explains as follows. If you take the word Lev, which is the center, you take the two letters before the word Lev, it's Ach. If you take, that's to the right. You take the two letters to the left, the letters that come after, it's Gam. When it comes to Oysher, you should try to have less. Ach, whatever you have is good enough. When it comes to Chachma, Gam, you should always want to have more. Says the Gemara. For Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, Om Shechina b'Marav. Didn't Rabbi Shuv ben Levi say the Shechina b'Marav? The answer is the Gemara, the Mitzdadid at Sudid. You should face a little to the south or to the north when you're davening, to have Chachma and Oysher. Om Rav Chanina l'Rav Ashi, Kigoyin Atem, like you, us, the Yisiva Tzvayin that's Yisrael, that you live to the north of Yisrael, Adrim, you should not just daven to the east side, you should face to the southeast side. Ask the Gemara, Menolan, the Bavel, Tzvayin that's Yisrael, Kaima, how do we know the Bavel is to the north? The Ksiv, Mitzof, and Tiftach, Ara, Akayosh, Ve'aretz. So Mepharshim asks, does our Gemara have to teach us geography? That the Gemara says, how do we know the Bavel is to the north? Answer the Mepharshim, beautiful Pshat. We know that throughout Shas, the people in Bavel call the people in Eretz Yisrael Marova. So we see that it's to the west. So what's our Gemara saying? It's to the north. Says so the Gemara, it's not completely to the east, it's northeast, is the side you should face. Machikim es amishim in a yerek, tana Rabbi Yossi ma'at b'chadol. Rabbi Yossi says, you can't put mustard next to the bees. Shiyoch loimlai, as we learned this in Daf Yud Ches, instead of you telling me, move your mustard from my bees, I tell you, move your bees away from my mustard, because the bees come and they eat up the mustard plant. Says the Mishnah, a person has to distance the tree from a pit of his neighbor 25 amas. Because as we've been learning, the roots go and ruin the pit. Ubechar v'shikma, these kind of trees, a carob tree, a shikma tree, chamishim amma. Beima mala, beima natsad, it makes no difference if the tree's on top or the trees on the side of the bar. Ima bar kadma, if the pit was there and then somebody planted a tree illegally too close to the bar, Kaitzitz, we have to cut down the tree for nice and dummy, but it's compensated for the tree. However, Elon Kadam, if the tree was there before the pit, Layokitz, then he doesn't have to cut down the tree because he planted his tree legally. And as we learned in the previous year, since this is not a rabbin, it's a yachid, so then we're not as strict as we are by rabbin. Safak Zeh Kadam, we're not sure what came first, the tree or the pit. Did Allah is Layokitz, we don't have to cut down the tree. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi we've been citing throughout the parak, Af Bishabar Kademus Elon, even though the pit is there before the tree, still, and then somebody planted the tree, Layokitz, he doesn't have to cut down the tree, because as Rabbi Yossi teaches us, everybody's doing in their own property what they want. I'm planting in my property and you're digging a pit in your property and we each have a right to do in our property what we want. And as the Ramban explains, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? We learned throughout Masechet Baba Kama that a person has the obligation to watch that his mammon, that his possessions shouldn't be mazik. So why over here isn't this a situation of mammon hamazik? So Ramban answers, Mammon HaMazik is only an issue in two situations. Number one was when the thing could do damage immediately. Here, if I plant a tree, it'll take years until it'll have roots that go 25 amma, 50 feet. So that's not called the situation of Mammon HaMazik. Another answer he gives, we've said this concept earlier, is the Mammon HaMazik is as follows. If I have an animal in my backyard, a dangerous animal, so there's a way for me to protect my neighbor from that dangerous animal by putting up a fence. Here, I want to plant a tree in my field. So of course, if I could do something to prevent that tree from doing damage to my neighbor's pit, I should do so. But there's nothing I could do. And since this is my field, and I have every right to plant in my field a tree, the halacha is that I could plant it, even if it will cause damage, according to Rabbi Yossi, ultimately. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Bein Shabbat L'mata V'in L'mala, whether the pit is below the tree, Bein Shabbat L'mala V'in L'mata, or the pit is above the tree, the halacha is, according to Tanakam, you have to distance it 25 amos. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, I could understand in a situation that the bar lamata, that the bar is lower, vilamala, because ka'azlan shoshim, as we've been discussing, the roots of this tree will go, maskele la bar, and damage the bar. Al bar lamala vilamata, in a situation where the bar is on top, and the tree is on bottom, what's the problem? The tree will miss the bar, because the tree's roots will be under the bar. Amir Rav Chaga b'shem Rabbi Yossi, even if the tree's roots don't go directly into the bar, but when they go below the bar, mechlidim as a karka, they ruin the ground that the bar is in, the ground of the bar, or makin kakiyosu shel bar, so even if the roots don't go directly into the bar, but they ruin below the bar, and that will do damage to the bar, and that's why according to the Tanakhama, such a tree should be distanced from the bar. Thank you.